Well, one day after Telegram's founder, Pavel Durov, is rounded up by the French government, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg has released a bombshell admitting he's been colluding with the Biden administration to censor dissenting posts that are critical of Kamala Harris and President Biden. Here's just a little excerpt from his letter on Meta letterhead yesterday. In 2021, senior officials from the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, and expressed a lot of frustration with our teams when we didn't agree. Ultimately, it was our decision whether or not to take content down, and we own our decisions, including COVID-19 related changes we made to our enforcement in the wake of this pressure. So they admit to taking down this content. My old friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano, has one of the keenest legal minds I know. He hosts a great show called Judging Freedom. You can find it on YouTube and other platforms as well. And the judge joins me now for the first time here on Redacted. Judge, welcome to the show. Great to see you.
Thank you, Clayton. It's a pleasure to see your face and hear your voice. We once worked together almost every day at our former employer, and I'm thrilled to be back with you. And congratulations on your fabulous, fabulous success with Redacted.
Well, thank you so much, and likewise with your show as well. And it's a show I watch very often, and love what you're doing over there. It's great to see that you have a voice in this crazy time. We need more people like you who are able to provide some clarity in this madness right now. So this story hit, and I thought, oh my gosh, Judge, it would be perfect to talk about this. When the government pressures a private company like Meta to censor speech, Judge, does that constitute a violation of the First Amendment?
Well, in my opinion, it does. But regrettably, Clayton, the Supreme Court ruled just 3 months ago that it does not, because the Supreme Court said the private entity, in this case Meta, is free to tell the government to go take a hike, even though the government, of course, has a lot of carrots and a lot of sticks that it uses. Just to get down to basics, the First Amendment, of course, only restrains the government. It says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Today, that means no part of any government may make any law or do anything that interferes with the freedom of speech. Keyword is government. Meta, of course, is a private bulletin board, and they can decide, regrettably, if they don't like what a guest on Redacted or a guest on Judging Freedom has said, they can, as we both know they have done, take us down at their own whim. What happens when they're responding to pressure from the government? The Supreme Court has said government is free to pressure. Government has the freedom of speech. I reject both of those. We can get into that if you want. And Meta and the others are free to reject the government. It's very difficult to reject an entity as powerful as the federal government. Now, Mark Zuckerberg come out with this letter? I think Mark Zuckerberg is very smart and is probably afraid of something called the state action doctrine. The state action doctrine teaches, I'm going to put my hands over my face, that when the private entity and the government are so intertwined in a symbiotic relationship for the benefit of both, such that you cannot tell who's calling the shots, then the restrictions imposed on the government, the First Amendment, will be imposed on the private entity. So if Mark Zuckerberg continues to comply, if Google complies, if X complies with the demands from the government such that you don't know who's calling the shots, then a court could decide the First Amendment applies to these private entities and they will not be able to punish because of the content of speech.
So as a user of Facebook, I wouldn't know that there was this behind-the-scenes portal. We now know, according to RFK Jr., that there was a behind-the-scenes portal set up by the Biden administration with these social media companies almost immediately after Biden took office. In order to work with these social media companies, they could send emails directly via this portal to Facebook, to Twitter at the time under Jack Dorsey, and ask for posts to be taken down. So how would a user know the difference? I mean, it seems to me that the user would just believe it's Facebook and there's really no daylight between Facebook and and the Biden administration at this point.
What you say is a very keen observation. And Bobby Kennedy, full disclosure, a longtime friend of mine, neglected to say that the portal was crafted in the Trump administration. I doubt that President Trump knew about it because he'd been victimized by all this stuff, but it was his DHS that created the portal. But interesting what you say, Clayton. The test that the courts would apply is, what does the average user think? The average user, you and me, or the millions that watch us, does not know who's calling the shots. When it is not known who's calling the shots, that's an indication that the private entity and the government are engaged in state action, and then the First Amendment can apply. This has not been used yet against any big tech, but it's coming. It came very close in that Supreme Court opinion that I just told you about. And honestly, the Supreme Court rejected this application not on the merits, but because the people bringing the claim did not have standing to sue, meaning another case alleging that what the Trump DHS had done and what the Biden DHS, according to Mark Zuckerberg, is still doing constitutes state action. The Supreme Court's going to have to confront that, and it won't be able to punt on it.
Can I give you an anecdote? Can I just regale you with an anecdote? So on our show a couple of years ago, of course, we were struck and taken down by YouTube when we were reading Pfizer's own documents. One of the stories that we did on our show was about women experiencing menstruation problems as it related to, you know, the shot, right? And right. When we had uncovered this information, we reported it here on the show. We received so many emails from women and husbands who said, thank you for doing that story. My wife has experienced this. She was a part of some sort of Facebook group that was then removed from Facebook. It was taken down and banned. Women who were experiencing similar issues as it related to their menstruation. So these women had no way of like forming a community. It was banned by Zuckerberg's Facebook. And of course, I'm left wondering how many of these women or other individuals were left harmed as a result of, you know what happened 3 years ago by these big pharmaceutical companies. Right. And they didn't have a way to communicate. They didn't know what was going on. And how many people were harmed as a result of not having this sort of free speech that they should have had or been able to have on Facebook? What do you make it? I know it's a sort of a nebulous question here, but do you think we'd see any cases against Facebook in that way?
The idea that Facebook is a private bulletin board relieves Mark Zuckerberg and the people that run Facebook of the obligation of respecting the freedom of speech. If the state action doctrine that I described a few minutes ago were to be applied to Facebook, then he could not strike anyone, could not ban any groups because of the content of the speech. Just like the government theoretically cannot punish someone because of the content of their speech. I say theoretically, there are exceptions to this. Mark Zuckerberg would not be able to do so either. And I'm not picking on Mark. We're just using him as an example, since you and I are both users of Facebook and since he made this rather startling admission just 24 hours ago.
Do you think that this rises to a level of coercion? Could this kind of government pressure on social media companies be considered a form of coercion? And if
It's absolutely coercion. When the government calls you up and says, we want you to do this and we don't want you to do that, particularly if they visit you, the people that visit you are master intimidators and are armed. They're called FBI agents. That's absolutely coercion. Is it criminal? It's misconduct in office, which is a very low level crime. Very few people, you and I would, but very few people, if the FBI came calling, would say, where is your warrant? And they'll say, we don't have one. Goodbye. Close the door. Very few people would do that. Most people seem to feel, particularly if you're a graduate of a public school, aka a government school, that the FBI are good people, they're searching for the truth, and I should cooperate with them. That, of course, is hogwash.
Is there any legal precedent here for the United States government in this way censoring Americans' speech in this way and going to such great lengths to do this? Can you think of any other examples?
FDR censored the Chicago Tribune in the late 30s for printing what was already public, which was the location of U.S. Navy ships. Now, the censoring consisted of the post office not accepting the Chicago Tribune for mail. At the time, many newspapers were mailed. That's the only historical example that I can think of in the modern era. There are many examples of this pre-World War II. There are no examples of it post-1969. 1969 is a turning point in First Amendment jurisprudence in a case called Brandenburg, a unanimous decision, which basically says to the Supreme Court, in which the Supreme Court basically says to all government, hands off the freedom of speech, period.
Can I ask you sort of a nebulous question?
So the government is doing, before you ask me, the government is doing indirectly DHS pressuring or negotiating with Facebook. What it absolutely cannot do directly, prohibiting speech because of its content.
I'll get you out of here on this, Judge. Do we have free speech in the United States?
We have the government chilling free speech, that is, doing things that would give people pause before they criticize the government, and that is a violation of free speech. And we have the government doing what Mark Zuckerberg just revealed, indirectly what it cannot do directly. To the extent that the First Amendment says to the federal government, stay out of the business of speech, the federal government violates it every single day.
My guest has been Judge Andrew Napolitano. Dear friend, great to see you. His show is called Judging Freedom. I encourage you to check it out, become a subscriber. And Judge, we hope to have you back on a regular basis here on Redacted. It's great to have you here.
It would be my pleasure, Clayton. Thank you very much. All the best to you.